Sure, I'd like to say L'zech Nishmach, my brother-in-law, Yechezkel Isser ben Yaakov Moshe. I want to start with something that's not on the sheet. Some of the hashkafas of the sukkah mats and sukkahs in general. You know, nowadays we have fast food, we have fast computers, and we have fast mitzvahs. That everything has to be done in a way which is easy and doesn't take much time. And sukkahs is no different. You see the advertisements, you know, put up your sukkah in 10 minutes or less. And the schach mat, although I do own a schach mat, but that is the purpose of it as well. It's easy, it rolls, you don't have to bother, you don't have to pachka. So to some extent that's fine. You know, you don't have room for all the other schach. People are busy. But there comes a point where it's just too much, where a person is just trying to potter himself from doing the mitzvah. Now, people don't have time. People are busy, they have jobs, they have family. But how is it sometimes we find the time for a vacation, for a little bit of relaxation, and for more than a little bit of relaxation, and yet we do not have the time to put up a sukkah, spend the couple hours it takes to put up a sukkah? The Sfarim say that the person sweats when he puts up a sukkah is a mechaper, is an atonement. And so it's not something that a person should run away from. It's not a mitzvah to go out and get the easiest sukkah, the easiest schach, the easiest mitzvahs, you know, the loving that pick up themselves. You don't even have to bother picking it up. You know, that's the next step. And I was thinking about this yesterday, and I saw it. This ad, which really capsulizes what I'm saying. The ad says, it's about time to get the sukkah that will save you time. What are you waiting for? Are you schlepping like the olden days? Are you still putting up a sukkah that takes you 3-4 hours, or maybe more? Are you cutting the boards yourself? What's wrong with you? It's about time to get the sukkah that will save you time. And I think that the Torah attitude is, you're going to spend time doing something. You have some free time. Put up a sukkah. It's a mitzvah. Right. So, the mat, I have a mat myself, and there's nothing wrong with having a mat. It's a kosher mat, which we'll discuss. But it shouldn't be, I'm getting the mat, and I'm getting the sukkah, I'm getting the everything together, just because I want to be able to have the easiest time putting up the sukkah. Okay. Let us begin the halachic issues of schach. And I want to begin with the three requirements of schach. Very simple, very straightforward. Number one, schach has to grow from the ground. Number two, it cannot still be attached to the ground, it has to be cut off. And number three, it cannot be mekabel tumah. It cannot be something which is able to accept tumah to become tameh, or a person who is tameh to touch it. So for instance, it cannot be a food. What else? We said it can't be clothes, it can't be, can't be a metal, can't be a kli. So, anything else is kosher for schach. For instance, the bamboo, or trees that you cut off the tree, or plant material. All that is kosher for schach, as opposed to anything which doesn't meet these requirements.
Did you mention
food? Food is mekabel tumah. Correct. Okay. What he's asking is that food that didn't get wet is not mekabel tumah. Okay, but what if the food got wet? It would be mekabel tumah. Therefore, it's considered to be an item. Food is considered to be something which could become tameh, and therefore cannot be used for schach. Wood, a simple piece of wood, would also be kosher. Okay, now, let's begin with the mats. What are the issues with mats? So I delineated here four issues of schach mats. The first one is that they seemingly are a bundle. What is wrong with a bundle? Take a look at handout page number one. Siman Tov Resh Chof Tes Sif Tes Vov. The Mechaber says V'chein Osur V'sachech B'chavila. One is not permitted to be Mesachech with a bundle. Mipnei She'pa'omim Sometimes a person comes home from the field and he's got a bundle of wood or whatever it is, and it's wet, it was just cut, and therefore he needs to dry it out, and he throws it up on top of a sukkah to dry out, and he did not put it up with shame sale for the purpose of giving shade, which is the reason why you put it, the reason you're supposed to put up tzchach is in order to give sale, shade. But he puts it up in order to dry out, and that's not kosher. And afterwards he changes his mind and he says, oh, wait a second, there's my sukkah with that bundle up there. That's great, you know, I already have, already, it's already covering my sukkah. I want it to be l'shem sukkah, l'shem sale, for the purpose of shading. V'osa sukkah psula, that sukkah is psula, mishum tase v'lo min ha'osui, b'pisul, which means that the sukkah, the tzchach, was made by itself. You didn't do an action, you didn't pick up the tzchach and put it over the roof for the purpose of shade. You put it up for a different reason, then you change your mind. So it's like it happens by itself. You cannot have tzchach that happens, is created just by a change of your mind. You have to do an action to put up the tzchach. The gozru al kol chavila atuzot. Therefore, Chazal made a gzera on every bundle. Every bundle, even if you put it up l'shem tzchach, l'shem sale, is possible. In other words, even if you don't have to, you're not putting up there to dry it out, but it's a bundle that you put up, it's a gzera. Chazal made a decree to possible every type of bundle. Okay, the question is, does this tasev lo min osli concept apply to tzchach or to other halachas in the Torah? The answer is it applies to many halachas in the Torah. Whenever the Torah says to do something,
in the sukkah.
No, it doesn't apply to the... In the sukkah itself, it only applies to the tzchach. The walls of the sukkah can have just been made by themselves. For instance, if you would use... Let's say you would use walls of the house. They're there for the house, not there for your sukkah. That's okay. The sukkah is the main part of the sukkah. We mentioned this before. The main part of the sukkah is the tzchach. The sukkah is called the sukkah because of the tzchach. Okay, so let's ponder this a second. So when you have these tzchach mats, the tzchach mats are bundles. They're bundles of 50 or 100 or 200 the flats of bamboo or wood. So seemingly they should be possible because of this problem. Let's take a look at page number 3. This is a tshuva from Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv is perhaps the foremost posek alive today in Eretz Yisrael. And you see the underlined part says the following: Uval korchach etzem tzuras asiyas hamechatzalus eina bechlal chavila. The mats are not included. They are not included in the gezerah of bundles. Ki hanitzar mechubarim echad al echad. Because the pieces of wood are attached one to the other. V'havalan yiriyah achas, they make one long, like, curtain. Lokam al chavila, it's not like a bundle, shechevel echad makif, that one string goes around, umachzik hanitzar mesher besocha. There's a fundamental difference between a bundle and a mat. The difference is, the strings, by a bundle, let's say you have two strings, they go around both ends, and they tie all the pieces of wood together. Here you have one piece of wood attached to another, attached to another, attached to another, and so on. That's how you get a mat. So therefore, Rabbi Yashiv says that from the poskim who say that mats, talk about the kashrus of mats without mentioning this problem of bundles, it would seem clear that the bundle is different than a mat. A mat is one attached to the other, and a bundle is one string around a whole bunch of.
You're going to bring up the problem of Kabbalah.
There are other issues with math, but in terms of this problem of not being able to use a math because it's a chavila, it's a bundle, it doesn't. That's not a problem.
The firm is flat.
Okay, now let's move on to another issue. Is that any questions on the bundle? Okay, let's move on to another issue, that of ma'amid, of support. The basis for this question is the following. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda says you are not permitted, you may not lean the schach on a bed, on the post of the bed. The Rabbanan say you are permitted. So there is a question, what is the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda's statement? Is it because Rabbi Yehuda holds, as he does, that a sukkah has to be a permanent fixture, as opposed to Rabbanan hold that has to be a temporary dwelling? Or is Rabbi Yehuda thinking, because you may not lean your schach on an item which is makabel tumah like a bed is? So in the Gemara there are these two opinions. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Is it because he holds you have to have a permanent dwelling, or is it because the bed is tumah and you are leaning your schach on something which is mekabel tumah? What is wrong with leaning your schach on something which is mekabel tumah? What's wrong with that? Because if you lean your schach on something which is mekabel tumah, you may come to then use that as schach, to use the thing which is mekabel tumah as schach. There's a little bit of a jump from one to the other, and you may make that jump. So there is this is two machlokas. This is machlokas in the Gemara. What is the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda? There is also a machlokas as to who we passim like. Do we passim like Rabbi Yehuda, or maybe we should passim like the Rabbanan? They are, after all, the rove. They are the majority. And even if we passim like Rabbi Yehuda, which reason should we passim like in Rabbi Yehuda? What's the halakha? So there's a big machlokas in the Rishonim and the Achronim, and the bottom line is that we are machmir l'chadchila not to lean and support our schach on something which is mekabel tumah, but b'di'avad it's still kosher. You can still make a bracha on it if you sit in such a sukkah. Okay. Now let's take a look inside on page number six. Page number six, which arrow number two, which refers to the Mishnah Berurah, Tafresh Chavtes Siv Zayin. And the Mechaber says, Yesh l'stapik, there is a question. In mutter lehaniach, if you are permitted to place, next page, sulum al-hagag, a ladder on the roof, kidei l'sachich al-gabov, in order to put schach on top of it. In other words, you have a sukkah, and you lean your ladder up on top, and on top of that, you're going to put your schach on top of the ladder. The schach is going to lean on the ladder, be supported by the ladder.
Oh, no,
yeah, so that you have walls, and on top of the walls you have a ladder, and on top of the ladder you're going to put your schach. So now take a look on the bottom of page 6, the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Chaf Beis, arrow number 5. Makam HaSafik Hu. Why does the Mechaber say it's a Safik? What does it mean it's a Safik? It's a question. Either yes or no. What are you telling me it's a Safik? The halo al kopanim the chlal ma'amid hu, because it's considered that you are supporting the schach with this ladder. The efsher diyesh lonu lahachmir, it's possible that we should be machmir shelo lahamid bedover hamakabel tuma shema yavo l'sachich bo. Maybe you will come to be mesachich with the thing which is makabel tuma. Now ask the Mishnah Berurah of Afal Gav shema midin haschach al kosel avonim. Even though we do lean schach on walls made of stone, like we mentioned before, if your house is one of the walls and it's made of stone, so you're allowed. Mishnah Berurah says, this is really from the shown in this question, that you're allowed to lean the schach on the wall, and how is that possible? That leaning it on a wall of stone, mishum de lo shchiach shi schach behem, because it's not normal for a person to use stones to be mesachich. So therefore, we're not afraid that you will say, oh, if I can put my schach, if I lean my schach on the wall of stone, therefore, I'm allowed to use the stones as schach themselves. That we're not afraid of. V'chein ha'tiku kama achronim l'dina, and so have some achronim codified in halacha, v'chadchila yesh lizar shelo lahamid ha'schach b'davar mekabel tumah, it's best to be careful not to be ma'amit in something which is mekabel tumah. Achem b'di'evet. If you did it. B'di'evet. Or she'ein lo shar dvorim. Or you have nothing else. Kaimulon demutu laham eschach v'davim mekabel tumah. Then b'di'evet, it's okay. If you have, If you go into somebody's sukkah and you see that the tzchach is leaning directly on the pipe of their metal sukkah, you're allowed. B'di'avad, it's okay. You know, you're allowed to eat there. B'di'avad, it was done already. But l'chatchila, we are careful. Okay. The question is, what about using metal nails to hold the wall together? Okay, we'll come to that. And in order to clarify that, let's take a look at page 7. And this is the Simen Tafresh Chavtes Sivches in the Shulchan Aruch. V'chaber klunsus asuka b'masmer shel barzel, to attach these support beams of the sukkah with metal, or l'kashrim b'vlos, or to tie them with blos, are pieces of cloth, which is mekabel tumah. So both of these things are mekabel tumah, the nails and the cloth. Perish chatichos shel begadim bluim, old cloth, shehem rags, shehem mekabel tumah, they are mekabel tumah, ain't peda. There is no problem with this. And why is there no problem with this? And look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Chavav. Mishnah Berurah says, Zeh mutar l'chul yama. This is permitted according to everyone. Afilu l'man de'oser l'hamid haschach b'davar makabel tumah. Even if you hold that it's usher to support your schach with something which is makabel tumah, kevon she'ein haschach al mismarim rak el shemachzik ben mekunsas hamamidim la'aschach. This is what's called a ma'amid dim ma'amid. It is support of a support. You are not directly supporting the schach with the cloth or with the metal, but you are supporting the thing which is supporting the schach. So that is permitted, because that's one further step away from being schach. So this is Nafeli's question, and that is, what about using nails to hold up the wall? Right, the wall, you have wooden walls, and the walls are not mekabel tumah, so you lean your schach on the wall, but you use metal nails to hold the walls together. If not for those metal nails, the whole thing would fall apart. That is mutter, because it's called ma'amid de ma'amid. It's a support of a support. And that's permitted. And that's the minig of people that use metal nails to hold the schach, the wall together. We will get, if we have the opportunity, we'll get to the end, we'll see that the Chazon Ish had a different opinion about that. But that is, and you go to Eretz Yisrael, you see Chazon Ish sukkahs, with Chazon Ish sukkahs, it's a whole different thing. And we'll come to that at the end. But the basic halach is that yes, a ma'amid din ma'amid, the support of a support, is permitted. Now, let me point out one more thing to you. That this problem of supporting a schach with something which is makabel tumah is not only a problem with something that is makabel tumah, but is a problem with anything that is not kosher for schach. So remember, we had three requirements. That in order to be kosher for schach, it has to be not mekabel tumah, it has to be grown from the ground, and it cannot be attached. So if it's lacking any of those requirements, you're not allowed to use it for schach, and l'chatchila, you're not allowed to use it as a support for your schach. So it's not only, even though the expression that's always used is you cannot be ma'amid with a davar mekabel tumah, that's the expression you always see, you cannot be ma'amid with a davar, you cannot support your schach with something that's mekabel tumah, but it means that you cannot support your schach with something which is pasul for schach. And how do I know this? Well, look back on page 6 in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Chaf Beis. The Mishnah Berurah asked the question. The Mishnah Berurah said at the bottom, he said, "Afal gav shemamidim aschach al kosel avodin." Mishnah Berurah said, "If how come you lean schach on a stone wall? If you're not supposed to be ma'amid and davar mekabel tumah, how come you lean your schach on a stone wall? What do you mean? A stone wall is not mekabel tumah. It's mechubal karka. It's attached to the ground. It's not mekabel tumah, but it's not kosher for schach, because it doesn't grow from the ground." So, and the Mishnah Berurah is saying, how come you do that? And the Mishnah Berurah says, because we're not worried about it, because it's unlikely that you'll put stones as schach. But from the question, you can see that being ma'amid is not only a problem with something which is mekabel tumah, but there's a problem with any object which is not kosher for schach, like a stone or whatever it is, that you're not supposed to be ma'amid l'chatchila. Question?
Deal with making a sukkah on a treehouse. It's near the Manatee Tree that there's a big album of the tree, the big limbs of the tree.
Okay. So he's saying that there are Mishnayos which speak about leaning your sukkah on the beams of the tree. Okay. And therefore, what do you see from that?
You say that a mechuber is not because they're for mandis, and here it seems to be a mechuber.
Well, first of all, the over there, you're not leaning your schach on the...
Not leaning the
sukkah is leaning on the sukkah. And the sukkah is leaning on the tree. So
it's not in the tree itself.
It is in the tree itself. But the sukkah is leaning on the walls of the sukkah, and the sukkah is leaning on the tree. So just to answer you very briefly, it's a mamid di mamid. Okay. Okay, any other questions on mamid, the mamid issue? Okay, so let's go further. The next issue we want to discuss is the issue of a ruach metzuyah, a wind. You don't have a handout on this, but the issue of a wind is that the Gemara says a person's sukkah must be able to withstand a ruach metzuyah. What is a ruach metzuyah? A ruach metzuyah is a normal wind, a prevailing wind where you are. If your sukkah is going to get blown down by Hurricane Francis, that doesn't matter. That's not an issue. That's not a normal wind. But if your sukkah is going to get blown down by an everyday average wind that exists at that time, so then that is an issue. And the sukkah is pasul. Even if there's no wind now. Right? Even if there's no wind and the sukkah doesn't get blown down, it's still pasul. Yes, question.
Like a tent.
Yeah.
A security, you put stakes in the ground and then you put ropes with heavy string. And you do that with the sukkah,
Okay, so the question is, can you stabilize the sukkah in order that it shouldn't blow in the wind? The answer is yes. That's what you're supposed to do in order to keep your sukkah stable, is to make it more secure. You don't have to move to a desert where there's no wind, or you can just, even if you live in a windy place, you can stabilize it. You must stabilize it. Now, the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch do not say explicitly that whether or not this rule applies to the schach. In other words, the Gemara says that your sukkah has to be able to withstand
walls.
The walls. Apparently the walls have to be able to withstand the normal wind. What about the schach? So the Sfasemis discusses this question, and he and all the other poskim come to the conclusion that the schach also has to be able to withstand a normal wind, and that's usually more of an issue than the wall. Usually it's more of a problem to keep the schach on than to keep the sukkah together. And that's the bottom line in the halacha. Now, what about if you live in a place that's windy, but you build your sukkah surrounded by walls of buildings? You live in an apartment complex, and you build your sukkah in the middle of the complex where there's no wind. You walk outside the complex, you get blown away, but inside there's no wind. Is that okay? No, the sukkah has to be built that even were it to be windy as is normal in this area, it would still be able to withstand the wind. The fact that there are walls surrounding your sukkah or houses or whatever it is not considered that you supported the sukkah. It has to be able to withstand the wind in any place in that area. Hold on 1 second. Let me just make one more point, and that is that mamid also comes into play over here, because if you have schach on your sukkah, which would be blown away by a normal prevailing wind in that area, so in order to prevent that, you put something on top of the schach, like a ladder, right, or something which is mekabel tuma, that is also called being mamid, says the Rama, that. It's also called being ma'amid because you're not supporting it, right? It's not leaning on it. It actually is the silver mekabel tuma is on top of the schach. But the bottom line is, if not for that mekabel tuma, the schach would blow away and the sukkah would be puzzled. That's also called a ma'amid. So therefore, you have to be careful that the item with which you're holding down your schach from the top is also something which is kosher for schach. Okay, question.
Suppose you have a shovel. Now it has wood. But on the end, of course, you have the metal. Do you have the metal overlapping the sukkah and use that to stabilize it?
No, you cannot use the shovel to...
Even though the other thing is...
Correct. Yeah. The cleat. Question.
Just to review. No, it's a great The schach itself has to be put, has to be put on in such a way that a ruach metzuya will not remove it.
Right. The schach has to be put on in such a way that a normal wind will not remove the schach. And if you need something to hold it down, that item which you need to hold down must be kosher for schach. Question. Okay, so let's say you live in a very windy area. Well, this is what I was explaining. But you build your sukkah in a place where it's not windy because there are some objects which are blocking the wind. Like if you build it in the middle of a courtyard of an apartment complex. So it's windy, it's very windy, except not where you're standing. Right? And if your sukkah would be outside the apartment complex, it'd fall down. That's possible. You cannot be using the walls of the apartment houses to protect your sukkah. The walls have to be strong enough in and of themselves. Okay, let's move on. Hold it. The next and final issue is the issue of tumah. That we have to ascertain whether or not these mats are mekabel tumah or not. Forget about the mamis, forget about this, all the other, whether or not these themselves can be used as kosher schach. Take a look at page number 5, which is Simen Tofresh Chos Tes, Sifvov, in the Mechaber. And the Mechaber says, Mechatzelos Shalkonim V'kash V'shifa V'gemi, a Mechatzelos, which is a mat, made of reeds or other plant growth, Bein Shehi Chaloka, whether or not it is smooth, Shehi Ru'i L'shchiva, and therefore it is proper for laying on. Bein she'ena chalaka, or if it is not smooth, she'ena, next page, ru'i l'shchivit, it is not useful for laying on, it's a little uncomfortable. Im hikatana, if it is a small size mat, stama omeres l'shchivit, it probably was made for laying on. Umekabelas tuma, it's mekabel tuma. In other words, even though they're flat pieces of wood, and they don't have any utensil, they can't hold anything, they don't, they wouldn't seemingly be makabel tumah, but they are, because a mat or a bed, something which is used to sit or lay on, is makabel tumah from the fact that it's used to lay on. So we have to determine whether or not the mats are to be used for laying on. If they are, then they are possible for schach. So the Mechaber is saying, if it's small, like meaning the size of a person, then it's probably made to lay on, and therefore it's mekabel tumah and it's possible. The emesachim ba elim ken asal l'sichus. You're not allowed to use it for schach, unless when you made it, you had in mind specifically to make it for schach. But otherwise, the assumption is that it was made for people to sleep on. It's mekabel tumah and it's possible. The imhi gedola, and if it's a large mat, stama omeres l'sichus. The understanding would be that it's supposed to be used for schach, because it's too large for someone to use to sleep on. Mesachachim bo, and you're allowed to use it for schach. Elim kein asa'o l'shchiva, unless you made it for sleeping, and then it would be mekabel tumah. So therefore, these mats have to be made for use for schach, and cannot be made for use for laying on or sleeping on, because then they're mekabel tumah. So now we come to the question of these mats that you see advertised. What are they made for? Well, these mats are usually made in China or in Taiwan or somewhere over there in that part of the world. And what are these mats being made for? Now I have over here, I outlined three reasons why they're not mekabel tumah. And one is because they're large. You're buying a mat, usually it's like 10 by 12 or 8 by 12, something like that. It's much larger than the size of a person to lie down on. And therefore the assumption would be that they are made for some other purpose other than lying on, and therefore they're not mekabel tumah. Number two is that they're not so comfortable. They have sharp edges. They're not that comfortable for laying on. Additionally, if you look at many of the mats, I can't say all, I haven't studied all of them, but many of them have a bamboo stick couple of feet to give it strength, right? So it shouldn't all be made of these flimsy reeds. So they put a bamboo every couple of feet. Well, if you're lying down on it, so it's not going to be very comfortable. It's like having a lump in your mattress. You know, you have this bamboo sticking up, so it's not comfortable for sleeping on. So therefore, again, that would indicate that they're made for reasons other than laying on. And number three is the broker, he goes to the guy in China and he says, listen, I want mats. I want 10 by 12, 8 by 12, 6 by 12, whatever it is. And I want them, you know, we use them for our purposes over there. And then, and the intention of the buyer plays a role here as well, that the buyer wants it, doesn't want it for sleeping. So the assumption is that the person who's making it is making it for whatever the buyer intends. He doesn't care why you're buying, he just wants to get paid. So he's making it with the intention of whatever you want to use it. Therefore, because of all these reasons, these mats are pretty much not makabel tumah. If somebody made it specifically for sleeping on, it would be, but we don't have to worry about that issue. Question?
You have bamboo shades and curtains, which of course they're made for purposes, curtains being shaved.
Okay, bamboo shade. Good question. We'll come to that. Something made for a shade in and of itself is not made for sleeping, and therefore that would not make it possible. But there are other issues, and we'll come to that. There's a Moshe Feinstein on this question. We'll come back to that point. Yes?
So you're saying that if a log or a leader would sleep on such a mat, it was made for sleeping?
Yes. If somebody who was tummy would sleep on such a mat that was made for sleeping, it would become tummy.
Would become tummy?
It would, yes. But not on our mat. What?
Oh,
it was made for a sukkah. If it was made for a sukkah, and somebody tummy sleeps on it, it would not become tummy because it's not royal kabel tumah. If it was royal kabel tumah, then it wouldn't be able to be used for tchach.
Meaning that he's able to sleep on it.
Yeah, right. But that's not its purpose. So therefore, it's not makabel tumah. Right.
What's the tying down the mat?
Okay, we'll come to that.
Yeah.
Okay, next. There's an issue here of Maris Ayin. And we can look at the Mishnah Brura, which is in Sif Katan Yud Zayin, on page 6, arrow number 3. The Imam Minig Be'ir L'Shchiva, if the Minig in the city is to make the mats for resting, for sleeping, Lo Mahani, it doesn't help, the Masha Hu Osa L'Shichach, it doesn't help that you made them for Shach. Or you went and you bought it in order to use for schach. The miyo dea dovizeh. Who knows? Who in the city knows what you have in your mind? And everybody will end up being mesach. So if the minig in the city is to make the mats for sleeping, it doesn't help what you had in mind. Even if it's not in the kabbal tumah, it's still a problem. Our sign that people are going to see you're using a mat. And it's and mats are makabel tumah, and how are you using a mat? And they won't know that you had something else in mind. Now look at the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Yud Ches, Tafresh Chavtes Yud Ches, arrow number 4 here. Veda, and no, the makomus halolu in these places, kol mechatzelas asuyus teshchiva, all of the mats are made for sleeping. The imkain afilu hu asal asichach, even if you make it specifically for schach, gamkain emesach mam, you cannot use mats. That's the bottom line for the Mishnah Berurah. Mats are out. Puzzle. All of these manufacturers, they're all out of business, according to the Mishnah Berurah, seemingly. Of course, this was maybe 80 years ago. 90 years ago, the Mishnah Berurah said it. The Mishnah Berurah did not say that this is going to be true forevermore. He's saying in his town, in Rodin, in that period of time, all the mats were made for Schach. All of them, right. Now take a look at page number 8 in your handout, the Oz Nidbru of Rabbi Yamin Zilber has a tshuva about mats, and afterwards you can look through the rest of the tshuva, but look at the part here that's underlined. Vine, Asher Kotzvu Achronim, Omuva B'Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Nidches, even though the Achronim and the Mishnah Berurah are right, Divimakomo Sehem Stam Mechatzelos Ulishchiva, that Mechatzelos are made for sleeping, lying on, Hare Kayom, Arsenu Hakadosha, Eino Ken, it's not true anymore in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. Uviyichud Ba'orim Hakadolos, especially in the large cities, Rubam Kakulam, Eimishtam Shemeshchiva, most people don't sleep on mats anymore, they go to the mattress store and they buy a bed and a mattress. Therefore, if they were made for the purpose of schach, we're not worried about the maris ayin. We're not concerned about the maris ayin because they're not. People don't use them solely for lying on. As a matter of fact, I don't know if anybody lies on them anymore. I don't know if there's anywhere in the world where they use for sleeping. I'm not sure, but certainly in America and Eretz Yisrael, there's no problem of a maris ayin. No one's going to see you using a mat and say, "Oh, that mat is made for sleeping. How is he using such a mat?" So therefore, there's no maris ayin anymore. Okay, now let's just review. Just a second. What's that?
Hammocks.
Yeah, but a hammock is a hammock, and a mat is a mat. It's a different. It's a different. It's a different item. Okay, let's just review these issues. The bundles we discussed, the chavilas are not a problem. Mamid, we haven't finished discussing the mamid issue. The ruach metzuya, the wind, it could be a problem. You have to make sure that your schach and your sukkah are able to withstand a normal wind. And mekabel tumah, basically, we finished with this issue. We do not hold the mats on mekabel tumah. It's not a problem of maris ayin either. So we still have to discuss more about the mamid and the ruach metzuya issues. We come to the different types of mat now. Questions? Any questions on this part?
We get to the point where you can tie it down.
Okay, we'll come to that point. Yes, I'm sorry. Did you have some? Okay. Okay. Now let's discuss the different types of mats. I divide them into four parts. The first one, probably the granddaddy of mats, was the ones that are made with cotton strings. Those are the older mats. They still make them, but they were the first type of mats. Rav Avadya Yosef is among those who permit the use of mats made with cotton string. And if you take a look on page 9 in your handout, I have reproduced his tshuva here. And the tshuva starts by saying, according to Rambam, that flax is possible to use for schach, the Rambam holds, even though flax is not mekabel tumah. But the Rambam says that once it's been beaten, it's nishtanet surasu. It grows from the ground. It's cut. It's not mekabel tumah. But once you beat it out into strands, it's nishtanet surasu. It's already different. It looks different. It looks different than it did. It doesn't look plant-like anymore. So therefore, you're not allowed to be mesachich with it. That's the Rambam by flax. So Rav Avadya makes a comparison. He says, what about cotton? Well, cotton itself would definitely be kosher for schach. Imagine throwing all the cotton balls, you know, on top of your sukkah. It would be kosher because it grows from the ground. It's not in the mekabel tumah, and it's removed, detached from the ground. So it would be kosher. But what about cotton strings? What about cotton strings? So Rav Avadya says that they would be kosher. They're not woven. Woven items are like cloth, and therefore they'd be possible. They're not woven, and therefore they may be used for tzach, except for the fact that the Rambam would say that the nishtanet surasa, they changed from the original form. It doesn't look string, cotton string doesn't look anymore like cotton, and therefore it would be possible according to the Rambam. That's where Rav Avadya says that the cotton strings are like the flax, but the Rambam says it's possible. Now, so let's take a look at the underlying parts in the tshuva. Ulam, yesh lo dun lefi taimu shel Rambam. We have to judge this according to the reasoning of the Rambam. Shepasul ha-pishtun lefish nishtanus turasu. The reason flax is pasul is because it has a changed form. Lefi zeh vada yesh lifsol chutei tzemer gefen. We certainly should pasul strings of cotton. V'sachich behem me'osotam atzmo shenishtanus turasu ha-tzemer gefen. Because it's the same reason, that it looks different. It's a different form. Lefi zeh we can question the validity of the schach, that's the mat that held together with cotton string, because the thing that is holding it together, the ma'amid, the thing that was supporting it, is cotton strings, which are not allowed to be mesachich according to the sheet of the Rambam. So Rav Vadya holds that the problem with the strings is that they are mamid. So Rav Vadya seems to understand that the very fact that that these strings are used to hold together the mass, that's called supporting it. Because without it, the whole thing will fall apart. So that's called mamid. And the question is, can you use the strings to be ma'amid, to support the mass? Next piece. Rav Vadya basically says that, well, ma'amid is a machlokas in the Gemara, and it's a machlokas in the Rishonim, and it's not so clear that we pass him there's a problem anyway. It's only a problem with Chatchila. But even if you want to say that ma'amid, even if you hold a ma'amid is a problem, you shouldn't be ma'amid. She'af la poskim, she'osim la'hamid asach v'dov sh'ro'el kabotum. Even according to those poskim who say it's usher, mikol mokum, still, kol dover, she'isil asachich bo, eino elam igzeres chachomim. Any time that the item you're using is only possible because of a gzera, it's a fence that Chazal instituted. Lo gozru chachomim leser lahamid bo tzchach hasukah, mishum hatshatam she'osu lahamid b'davi she'osu l'sachach bo eina ola mishum gzera. The reason you're not allowed to be mamid to use as support something which is possible for tzchach is only a gzera. Shem yovel sachach bo mamish. Maybe you come to use this item as tzchach. Aval she'isu l'sachach bo midivrei sofrim. But when the problem that the tzchach is possible midrabbanan for gzera mutu lahamid bo tzchach, then you're allowed to use it as a mamid mishum shegzera l'gzera lo gazrinim. You do not make one gzera to another gzera. So the cotton string is possible only because of a gzera, because it's a shtan shirasa. It doesn't look like kosher tzchach. So it's a gzera. So to be able to be mamid with that is mutter, because it's a gzera l'gzera. Mamid itself is only a gzera that you'll come to use it for tzchach. So it's two gzeras that we don't make two gzeras. So Rav Vadya holds, therefore, that since the only problem with these mats is the mamid problem, but you're being mamid with cotton string, which is only derabbanan, so it's mamid with something which is possibly derabbanan, so it's a gzera l'gzera, that's fine. You're allowed to use it l'chatchila, says Rav Vadya Yosef, and he's not the only one who holds like that, but he's the only one I could find a tshuva from. So I put his. Many of the schach that come actually with the cotton, I think, have Rav Vadya's hefsher on it. Question.
So the same thing if you make things out of any sort of natural fiber, like glass or anything like that, you can make it
into a thing. If it's made out of something which has a different surah, a different form than as it grows, and then it would be a problem according to Rav Vadya. I mean, it wouldn't be able to be used for schach, but it would be mutter to use it as a mat. Let's put it like that. So this is Rav Vadya's opinion. The problem with the string is that it doesn't look like it should be kosher for schach. Like flax. As the flax grows, it would be kosher for schach. But once you beat it out, it changes its form. And the Rambam says, therefore it's possible for schach because it has a different form. The string, says Rav Vadya, is the same as the flax. It doesn't look like cotton anymore. Mm-hmm. Although it's not woven yet. Okay, it's only spun. That's not a problem midoraisa to make it mekabel tuma and possible for tzchach, but it is a different form and therefore it cannot be used for tzchach. But yet it can be used as a mamid. It may be used as a mamid, but not as tzchach. It holds together the support for the tzchach. It holds together the mat, or like he suggested, if you actually run the strings across your sukkah and put the tzchach on that, according to Rav Vadya, would be okay. Okay, next. Let's come to the nylon fishing string mats, which are certified by the Star K. Are we all familiar with those? They are held together with fishing string, a monofilament string, which is a type of plastic.
Purely
artificial. Purely artificial item. Now it seems that the string that holds together the slats is called a mamid. It's called support. And plastic is something which is not kosher for schach. So what is the thinking in allowing to use plastic monofilament to hold together schach when that's being mamid? I follow the issue that needs to be answered. The string is holding together the mat, and isn't that a mamid, which would be a problem with chatchila? So the Star K position is that in and of itself, the string is not called a mamid. The string would only be a mamid in one or two of the following situations. If you put up your schach mat parallel to your support beam, so that means that the support beams are running, let's say, this way, front and back, and the slats are also running front and back. What you're going to end up with is a mat that goes over the beam and goes down, and then goes up over the other beam and down again. So what's holding up the mat between the beams? It's the string, right? The string is holding up the mat if you put them parallel to the support beams. I don't know why you would do that, but let's say you did. You would then be being you would be mamid the slats with the string, and therefore the solution to that problem is to put the slats perpendicular to the to the support beam. Okay, and that way your mats are being held up by the beams and not being held up by the plastic. Got it? Okay. The second issue where the string could be a mamid is if in a wind, the wind would blow away the mat. It's not for the fact that it was being held together by the plastic string, and therefore, if you live in a windy place, you should cover. Starkey position is you should cover the schach mat with a piece of wood to hold it down, so that the schach is being held there by the wood, which is something which is kosher for schach, and not being held there by the fact that it's all connected together but with the string. So therefore, these are the issues of mamid that the Stargate takes care to... in this way, you take care of the problem of mamid. But the fact that the string is just holding together the mats, I mean, you could put up the mats without the string too, right? If you didn't have any string, it would be slats going across and it would be sitting there. As long as they wouldn't get blown away in the wind, it wouldn't be a problem. So therefore, the mamid is taken care of with these two very important conditions. Number one is you put the mat perpendicular and not parallel. Number two, put a beam on top to hold it down from the wind. Okay. The Starkey position is that these are better than the cotton string mat. Why is that? What problem do we have with the cotton string mat? And here we get a little bit intricate, so I ask you bear with me. There is a there are two introductions I need to go through. Number one is that there is an opinion of Rashi that cotton string is mekabel tuma from the Torah, because even though it is not something which is woven, it's only spun, nonetheless, that is in of itself, the fact that it's spun into a string is enough to give it it's considered to be like it's woven, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. It's like a cloth. It's like a piece of clothing. Once it's spun, a piece of cotton ball would be able to use for schach. It wouldn't be mekabel tuma. But once you spin it into a string, it's mekabel tuma, according to Rashi's opinion, and therefore it is would be pasul for schach, would be mekabel tuma. Okay. Now, there is also another introduction, that is Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva. Look on page 10. You see Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Igros Moshe, Or Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Ayin Zayin. And here we come to the Venetian blind. Rav Moshe talks about the Havilonos Shel Eitz, the wooden Venetian blind, She'ala Chalonos, that are on the windows, Im Kisherim L'Sachech She'yisterim, are they kosher for Schach when you take them apart? The question would be twofold. How about when they're together, or even when you take them apart, would they be kosher? It's clear from what Rav Moshe says that the fact that they are hanging on a window does not make them possible for schach. It's not like there's something, a mat that you use to sleep on, to lay on. It's a completely... It's not mekabel tuma just from the fact that it's hanging on a window. That's not the same purpose as something which is made to sleep on. Something which is made to sleep on, to lay on, is mekabel tuma. Because of that, something which is made to hang on the window is not necessarily mekabel tuma just because it's of use. Now look inside here. al halvilonos shel eitz she'achodim tolim b'chalon haseim, that some people hang on their windows. She'hamamid es hamaklus hadakim. What is the support? What is the mamid of these of the small sticks, the thin sticks? Who orig? It is a piece of woven cloth. She'metame b'kolshehu. That's metame in any size. If you remember, go back to your days in school. If you remember, the Venetian blinds are not like they are today, so they're held together with a little cotton string. They were like a thick cloth. Remember those? The ribbons, right. The thick cloth. That's what Moshe is talking about. And that cloth is like a beggar's, like a garment, which is Mekabel Tumah. So the Mamid is Mekabel Tumah. Now Moshe says, look at the next piece. Mufurish Mekamus, Shebishvil Ha'orig, Tome Kol Hakli. If the blind is held together with something which is a Mekabel Tumah, it's woven, then the whole Kli is Mekabel Tumah. The whole thing is considered to be one piece. And it's all Mekabel Tumah. So not only is the little strip of cloth Mekabel Tumah, but the whole blind is Mekabel Tumah. And the Ramosha says, Memele psulim l'schach midina af acher sheyistrem kemo b'loi kelem shepsulim l'schach. It's possible for schach, even if you take off the cloth that's binding it together. The pieces of wood themselves are Mekabel Tumah, even though wood normally is not Mekabel Tumah, but since it's being held together, and its only function is with the cloth, the whole thing is Mekabel Tumah. Even if you take off the cloth strip, the whole thing is Mekabel Tumah. So that's what Moshe is talking about, those Venetian blinds. Okay, so now, Moshe was not talking about cotton string, but consider that if we have a mat that is held together with cotton string, and we hold like Rashi that cotton string is Mekabel Tumah, then the whole mat would be Mekabel Tumah using Ramosha's logic. So using Rashi Shita, which by the way we don't pass them like, it's a chumrah. It's brought down in Mishnah Berurah, brings down the Sharetzion. And Mishnah Berurah clearly does not pass them like it. It's an opinion which Mishnah Berurah cites, but we don't pass them like it. But nonetheless, if we wanted to be stringent according to that Rashi, then using Rav Moshe's logic, it moves beyond the issue of Mamid, that the whole mat would be Mekabel Tumah, and would be possibly the Raisa to use. So therefore, the Starkei position is that we don't use the mats that are held together with the cotton string, because it's not only a problem of Mamid, it's a problem that the whole mat may be considered to be Mekabel Tumah, and the whole mat is possible midoraisa according to Rashi Shita. Okay, next, the next type of mat is also very popular. The ones that are held together with hemp, that maybe are held together with bamboo strips, some natural fiber. They may go by the name of schach kainus, or
what does that mean?
I think it's just the name of a company.
Oh,
Kainus. So these mats are not held together with plastic, with nylon. They're not held together with string, with cotton string. They're held together with a natural fiber that's not even spun. It's just plant material. Okay, and many times this comes with the hechsher of the bedatz and Eretz Yisrael. So they don't have any problem with mamid at all, or Mekabel Tumah at all, because the string that's used to hold them together could actually be used as schach. You could throw it on top of your sukkah as schach. So the Starkei position is that those mats have actually an additional, even though we don't certify those, they have an additional benefit to them, that you don't have to worry about any mamid. You don't have to worry. There's no problem of mamid. See, the nylon ones could have a problem of mamid if you don't put it properly on your sukkah, or if it's the wind and so on. But these mats that are held together with natural fibers don't have any problem of being supported at all with something which is kosher, possible schach, because those fibers are kosher for schach. Okay, so Rav Heineman has said that those mats actually would be have a benefit. Certainly, he holds Darkei position that the nylon ones are kosher, but the other ones have additional benefits. Okay, let's move on to the fourth type of mat, and this is not marketed, but I have seen it in the Svarim discussed. Rain-free mats. Rain-free mats. What is a rain-free mat? The way I understand from the description is picture in your mind a piece of bamboo and cut it in half. Okay, cut it lengthwise in half. And you take one piece of bamboo and you put it so, facing down, and then you put the other piece of bamboo right next to it, overlapping a little bit, facing up, so that rain that comes down onto the sukkah will go from the top piece of bamboo into the bottom, which is facing up and has a it's a semicircle, and then will spill out the sukkah, and then like that. That's how the mat is made, so that the rain is directed into the receptacle. It's not a kli, because it doesn't have anything on the end, right? It does not a kli. It can't hold anything. Like when you collect water for a mikveh, you use pipes, and pipes without any ends to them, right? So that's how you use it. So now, there is a problem with using tzach that you cannot see the stars. So in order to remedy that, what do? They don't connect the two pieces completely. There's a little bit of a break in between, so that you could actually see through to the stars. So you can see the stars, you can see the outside sky. What is the problem with it? What is the problem with this tzach? The problem is that according to some Rishonim, the rain needs to be able to come into your sukkah. If you have a sukkah, the rain can't come in. It's like your house, and that's a house. That's not a sukkah. So the rain can't come in. So therefore, this is why the poskim don't seem to have supported and given their letter recommendations and have a psak on this tzach. Otherwise, I think if they would, it would be very popular because it sounds like a great idea. Now, why? But why don't we? I mean, if it would rain really hard, it would come in. I mean, it can't be that effective because there is a space. But nonetheless, that's called that rain cannot come in to your sukkah, and therefore, apparently the Gedolim have not approved of this.
Wouldn't that be if you put the used thatch and used the leaves, and you put three or four layers so that you end up with the roof, really? I mean, is there some kind of shear involved there?
Okay, good question. The poskim do discuss that you're not supposed to fill up so much. Your sukkah should let the rain in. So what exactly is the shear of letting rain in? Any sukkah, unless it's going to be a flat board, is going to let rain in at some time. So where is the amount of rain, and how hard does it have to rain? I mean, it's not clear in the poskim exactly how much rain has to come into your sukkah. Maybe that's why the Gedolim have not supported this this type of schach, apparently.
How is it possible to hit the stars and no rain coming?
Okay, because rain usually goes from how is it possible to see the stars if no rain comes into your sukkah? The answer is that the rain usually comes straight down. Well, you can look through the slats sideways out to the stars, but if there would be a wind, right, and the rain would come in through the sideways. So I don't understand yet exactly why it's such an issue. I would think that the rain would come in somewhat. Okay, so we've basically reviewed the issues of the bundles, the mamid, the ruach metzuyah, the tumah, the different types of tzach, the cotton string, Rav Avad Yosef holds is good, the monofilament, the star K certified, and why the star K wouldn't want to use the cotton string mats, the hemp, the tzach kindness, which is usually certified by a vadat, which seems to have the least problems of all, and then the rain-free mats, which have not yet found a market, and the Chazon Ish sukkahs in Eretz Yisrael, Mikroi Kodesh issues, decorations, and Mitzchus, keeping the mitzvah of sukkah properly. We should be zochet to Pori Sukkos, Shalom, Aleinu, Bakor Yisrael, Amen.